Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight is Isabel Ruiz-Cano. She is the Associate Curator at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art, and we're here talking about the exhibition, Cooking with Eric Carle. Isabel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm very happy to be with you again.
When I read about this show, I was very amused. I thought, what a perfect idea. But I had no idea of Eric Carle's connection with food. It seems like it was a theme in his life.
Yeah, he wrote to a fan that he had often fantasized about being a chef when the fan asked him about any alternative career choices that he had considered. And I really think it stems from this connection to creativity that we can find both in art making and in cooking.
Yeah, and it's weird because he did collage work a lot, not exclusively, but a lot.
Yeah.
When I think about collage work, and there's three words you use in this exhibition, texture, surprise, and tradition. And that applies both to illustration and fine art, but also to cooking.
Yes, definitely. You're taking all of these different elements together to make one cohesive final product, right? Whether it be a masterpiece of art or a great meal.
Well, he was originally hired to do illustrations for a cookbook.
Yes, that really was one of the books that launched his career, was when he worked with Anne Benedus to create these incredible black and white linoleum prints that are really some of my favorite objects that we have in our collection, that are just so striking. And the cookbook was a collection of American folk recipes, actually, and he was hired to make about 30, but he ended up making way more just because he was so excited to be in this creative work again. Before that, he had been moving up the ladder as an ad executive, so he was really just working with accounts at that point, and he was done doing the graphic design work that was really his passion.
It's funny because two of the recipes I think he illustrated were red flannel hash and shoe fly pie.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you know? I've never had either. Do you know what those are?
Really, I know there are a lot of those like aspic recipes in that cookbook.
There's a lot of aspics?
The aspics? You know, those like savory Jello mold.
Oh, you mean like gelatin? Those weird gelatin recipes?
Yes, it's a cookbook from 1965.
Oh, right, so that was the golden age of putting things in molds. It really was.
Yes.
It was everybody, and every time you opened up like a magazine or something like that, there was a recipe for putting fruit salad in a mold and all sorts of wild stuff in a mold.
Yeah, but there's some of the illustrations that we're including in this exhibition is for a waffle iron that was brought over by the Dutch, and there's a great recipe for waffles in there.
Oh, nice.
There's a recipe for Santa Claus cookies that comes from a, you know, European tradition of creating these cookies as a gift for whoever it is that is bringing gifts over to you during the holidays, and even baked beans.
Wow. Now, can you talk a little bit about Eric Carle's early artistic career? Did he always do this kind of artwork, and when did he start doing collage mostly?
Yeah, he started doing collage pretty early on, around the early 1960s. I think the earliest book that we have by him is from 1962, and it's just a cover image. He just did the front cover of books for a while.
Okay. So he was like sort of an artist for hire. Like,
yes,
if you needed
an artist for hire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back then he was working with collage, but he wasn't really painting the tissue papers. He was just cutting them up. And once we start seeing The Very Hungry Caterpillar and books from around that time is when he starts actually painting the tissue papers and giving them these beautiful, intricate textures.
Well, and speaking of cooking with Carle, The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar has several great food illustrations that are going to be in the show.
Yes.
Can you talk about those? Because I love the fact that, first of all, we should backtrack a minute and say a few words about the Eric Carle Museum. Where is it?
Of course.
Where?
Yeah, so we're located in Amherst, Massachusetts. We were opened in 2002, and we were really created as the first dedicated home for picture book art for exhibition in the United States.
Wow.
Eric Carle was inspired by his travels to Japan, where there's more than 30 picture book art museums.
Mm-hmm.
And he really wanted to create that same sort of experience here, not just as a home for his artwork eventually, but also as a place for other artists to display their art and be recognized for the kind of work that they do.
I've seen some of my favorite art exhibitions at the Eric Carle. I think one of my all-time, and I've worked at a traditional art museum. I think that several years ago, there was an exhibition of art from the Golden Books. And that remains one of my favorite art exhibitions because I got to see the original artwork, usually painted to size by people like Mary Blair and other artists like that. And the Eric Carle is a totally unique museum. It's not like any other art museum that I know.
Yeah. And I mean, actually, you were Jarrett Krzyzewska's mentor, right?
And oh, yeah. Well, I was his art teacher at the Worcester Art Museum.
Art teacher, mentor. A great inspiration. And he's by him up in the museum right now. And I think it's very special that we've become this home for people that are illustrators in Massachusetts.
Yeah, there's a whole, especially around the Connecticut River Valley, there's a whole group of especially young people's books, artists that have really, sort of connected to their Eric Carle Museum. You just had an exhibition by another person who I've interviewed several times, who have written both illustrated books and even a cookbook about food from China. I think that was up.
Grace Lynn, of course.
Grace is one of my favorite. I've had Grace on several times, and I love her writing and I love her illustration work. It's just absolutely beautiful. But I love that there's a place that these illustrators, that these people who work with young people's books, can sort of find a central place to sort of have their stuff exhibited. And it really is very different seeing the original artwork than when it's printed in a book.
Yes, extremely. I think when we go back to Eric's work, you can't see those layers of collage as well on a printed book versus when you can see them on the page.
No, it's really true. It's really true. Mm-hmm. You don't have any sense of the real intricate work that he does. Now, who came up with the idea for this exhibition?
It's really always sort of a collaborative approach. We work with our education team.
But who suggested cooking with Carle?
I suggested the idea. I have been sort of collecting all of these images. I moonlighted as a chef before going to graduate school as a prep cook. So it was always I've been very passionate about. We have just so much imagery. We have two books that are all about food that Eric made, about one about pretzels, the other one about pancakes. So I thought, well, we can really roll with this idea. And it comes with great opportunities for programming. We're thinking of having sort of chefs come in and take up residency in our cafe, which is a fully stocked industrial kitchen, or working with food trucks. So it really lends itself to the museum becoming this sort of home, right? Which is really what sharing a meal is all about, is everybody coming together and sharing their stories and delighting in the senses.
I want to mention that the exhibition's up for a while, September 20th, 2025 to August 23rd, 2026. What are the hours of the museum?
Yeah, we are open from 10 until 4 from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, we have a little bit more of extended hours. which I'm looking up for you right now because I don't have them off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, you're open later in the afternoon.
Yes, we're open later in the afternoon on Saturdays and Sundays. Saturdays, we are open from 10 to 5 p.m. and Sundays from 12 to 5.
Now, I want to mention that this is a child-friendly environment, correct?
Yes, it is definitely a child-friendly environment, or for an adult that wants to connect with their inner child, really. We have an art studio that is open to all ages and has a rotating selection of activities that you can do that are themed to the exhibitions. I know our art studio is very excited for the activities that they can do for Cooking with Eric Carl. And we have a reading library as well where you can delight in picture books from around the world, from all time periods.
You also usually have two or three other exhibitions on concurrently, don't you?
Yes, we do, because we don't just exhibit Eric Carl's artwork, although we always have one gallery dedicated to him. We have a central gallery, and we have the East Gallery, in which you'll be able to see Grace Lynn's artwork through the end of this year. And after that, we'll have an exhibition that is dedicated to the art of photography in picture books.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm very excited about. And in our central gallery, we will have an exhibition that is focused on magical creatures.
Now, if you're like me, and I have grandchildren who are really old, who are going off and being lawyers, and you just want to go to the exhibition and see, I recommend going during the week, because that's time you won't have so many children. The children love this museum, but I like to see it with as little din as possible. But it is a great space for people who have children. I have to say that. Now, in this particular exhibition, getting back to Cooking with Eric Carl, you're exhibiting a wide variety of materials. You have his artwork, you have books, you have sketches, you have photographs. Now, here's the weird thing. You even have restaurant checks?
Yes. So actually,
explain yourself, Isabel.
Yeah, Eric Carl was a frequent patron of restaurants across New England, and one of his favorites was Siena, which was a restaurant that was open in South Deerfield. And he became friends with the chef and the maitre d', who were their owners. And every time he went to Siena, he doodled on the guest check. So one of our workers at the museum, Rachel Haas, actually met Eric Carl while she was working at Siena. And he sort of headhunted her, she's a poet and an artist, and hired her to work at his art studio, and now she's working at the museum now as the special assistant to our executive director. But she remains close friends with Kim Rothner, who was the co-owner of Siena, and Kim lent us scans of all of these guest checks that Eric doodled on, which we had to do scans because they are a pretty frail paper that we don't want to have exhibited for, you know, an entire year.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to know how much people spent on their food as well.
Oh, my God. You're right. So you have to block all that out.
Are there. Yeah.
Did the people at the restaurant realize how famous he was?
I'm pretty sure they did, because they saved all of them. And, of course, it's a different level of fame, right?
It's pretty famous. I mean, Hungry Hunger Caterpillar is known throughout the world.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So it's like getting a famous artist, maybe not like Picasso, but along that line, signing, you know, doodling on your checks.
Yes. And Eric was just such a generous and warm soul. He gave away his art to his friends, you know, as a token of appreciation all the time. And he created customized collages for people. He really wanted to share his art with the world, and I think that's why he chose to focus on the medium of picture books, because that's the first art that you interact with as a child.
Yeah. Now, another one of his favorite restaurants, and you write about this in the exhibition, is in Northampton. It's Mushi Mushi.
Yes, Moshi Moshi. It's actually right across the street from me, and they have a personal collage by Eric that hangs in their restaurant if you ever get a chance to go down there. And there's a special caterpillar roll that
Is it named after the Hungry Hunger caterpillar?
Yes.
Oh my God! What do you know? What it's made of? Hello.
No. Let's see.
We should all order out the caterpillar roll from Moshi Moshi.
Got shrimp, tuna, and cucumber, and some sliced avocado.
Wow. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And the shrimp is tempura shrimp, which is that adds that crispiness.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I don't need to hear this before lunch. now, you have other stuff in the show that I just really made me go, what? You have yogurt lids?
Yeah. So
wait.
Eric loved yogurt. He used to have it as a snack every afternoon in his studio. He'd have his assistants bring him up a little tub of yogurt. And he'd then use those as paint palettes. But we have an arrangement where he, you know, looks at what he had made and he put them in a beautiful little grid. And it's totally a piece of abstract art. And
oh my God.
I was talking about this exhibition with our PR consultant Amanda DiMizio, she shared that while she was covering the opening of the museum, you know, it was such a hectic time. There were so many people coming in and out of the museum all the time that she once found Eric just sitting in her conference room and eating yogurt by himself. And she was like, "Are you okay?" And he's like, "Yes, I just needed, you know, my little moment of quiet." And really, again, it speaks to just his humility as an artist. And, you know, he was just the head of this major operation. And he was like, "I just need to chill out for a second and have this, like, moment of mindfulness." So I think it's really special that we get to exhibit these lids that would have otherwise been thrown out.
Now, there's also photographs of Eric Carle in the show. And two photographs, I'm looking at the list of pieces that are going to be up on the wall. Mm-hmm. There's a photograph of him cooking. I don't know what he's making. He's pouring milk.
Yes.
He might be making pancakes. I don't know.
Yeah, he's making pancakes. This was sort of his breakfast ritual. He would make pancakes from scratch most mornings, and he would have them with, again, a little bit of yogurt, some fruit, always some fresh squeezed orange juice. He lived in North Carolina for a while during his retirement before coming back up to Western Massachusetts. And this was where he really reconnected with this ritual. You know, he had a slower lifestyle. And it was partly inspired by his childhood in Germany, where, you know, his grandparents had a farm and he would go grab some eggs and beg his mom to make him some pancakes. Really sort of this thread that goes through his entire life of appreciating things made from scratch.
Now, there's a book of his called Pancakes, Pancakes! Exclamation point.
Yes, Pancakes, Pancakes! Exclamation point. Yeah, I love that book, and it's the story of a little boy just gathering all of the ingredients to make pancakes. You know, he has to go get the flour, he has to go and get the fresh egg, he has to go and churn the butter, and his mom puts it all together. And it's one of his earlier books. It's from 1970. He did re-illustrate it in 1990 to make the colors more vivid. Before around 1980, he was using commercial tissue paper, so the kind that you could buy at any craft store. But then he, when he realized the value of his work and how much he wanted it to last a longer time, he started working with archival grade supplies and hand painting every tissue paper. So he would just buy it in white, and he'd color it whatever color he wanted it to be.
Well, another book that he wrote, he illustrated and wrote, was Walter the Baker.
Yeah.
Now, is that what inspired Walter the Baker?
So he actually had an uncle, Walter, who was a baker. Walter doted on Eric as a young kid, and he would bring Eric comic books would tell him stories and would also give him fresh bread. So Walter the Baker is really Eric's tribute to this, and to again to the just the German folkloric tradition of storytelling. He comes up with this idea. It's not corroborated anywhere at all about a baker coming up with the shape of a pretzel and sort of accidentally stumbling upon the salt bath that you give pretzels.
There's also some interest for me as a person who really appreciates illustration. There's an illustration from Otter Nonsense, O-T-T-E-R, Nonsense.
Yeah.
In this case, he was working with Norton Juster, I think it is, who wrote the Phantom Phone Booth.
Yeah, the Phantom Toll Booth.
Yeah, you're the Phantom Juster. Toll Booth. And it's a very different kind of work from Carl.
It is. I say that it looks like a cartoon from The New Yorker.
Yeah.
And it's just this set of illustrations that illuminate these sort of nonsensical rhymes and limericks that Norton Juster is known for, all of his puns. And they were really good friends. Norton Juster was actually part of an architectural firm, Juster, Pope, and Fraser, which is still practicing.
I didn't know that.
And they're based in Western Massachusetts, and they designed the museum itself.
Wow. Wow. And so these pen and ink ones looked very, very different. How often did he work in pen and ink?
He worked a lot in pen and ink when he was younger, when he went to art school in Germany. He went through a design program, so he learned drafting and all of those skills. But for his, commercial work, he didn't do it as often. This is one of the only examples that we get, but I think they're just so charming.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're absolutely nice. They're incredible. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be on exhibition, correct?
Yes.
Now, he also wrote my first book of food, correct?
Yeah.
And that's like a really basic first person's, a young person's first book.
Yes. They don't have any words on them. They just have images. And you're supposed to match the image of what and of the animal and then whatever the animal eats. But those in the physical book are all out of order. So you might see a rabbit and cheese next to each other, right on top of each other. But that a mouse eats cheese, a rabbit eats carrots, a cat eats fish or milk, stuff like that. So it really challenges these readers that may not know how to read yet, but they can identify bright images to create those sort of connections and sort of learn how a book works or
yep.
can work.
Exactly. Now, he also has lots of pictures of people eating food at a table. And there's a book that I never heard of before called Today is Monday.
Yeah, you might have heard the Today is Monday song in your youth. I don't know if you ever sang that in kindergarten. I don't remember it.
I don't remember it.
Everybody that I ask about it does remember it. I think it
was. So wait a minute. Well, okay. Yeah. Isabel, wait a minute. So what's the song?
I won't sing it because I have a terrible singing voice, but okay. It's a song that takes you through the days of the week and you say what you eat for each day of the week. So I think like Tuesday you eat spaghetti and it's just sort of nonsense rhymes. But Carl took this song and he paired animals eating the food. So there's like a snake eating spaghetti, which is really funny. And at the end, you see all of these kids eating all of the foods that were mentioned at a beautiful table, just a really full tablescape. And there are little hidden images of the animals that were featured in the previous pages right above the kids in this very, meta move.
I got to ask you, is putting shows together like this as much fun as it sounds?
It takes a lot of hard work. I couldn't do this without my colleagues, the registrars who assess the art and its stability and let me know when we can put a work on view versus when it would be better to do a reproduction of it.
Yeah, a lot of people are not familiar with all the other staff behind the scenes at an art museum, and registrars are really important people.
Yes, they are. They are the ones that keep the artwork safe and in good condition and send it for conservation if we need to. People like Rachel Hotz, who know so much about Eric, you know, she works basically keeping the museum, helping keep the museum's lights on as the special assistant to her executive director, but she really holds that wealth of institutional knowledge of what it was like to work with him. And even people in our development team who help fundraise for this exhibition, who come up with the member openings, people in our education department who really make it such an intergenerational place and a space for kids and adults.
Yeah, I don't know of any other art museum that is so inviting to young people other than Eric Carl. I mean, all the other art museums are all about don't touch the work and behave yourself and don't run. And every time I've gone to the Eric Carl, it's just loaded with young people, children. And it's a very different experience going to an art museum like that.
Yeah. And we like to think of ourselves as, you know, a child's first museum. And it's the place where they learn how to be in an art museum. They learn how to
be
in community with other people appreciating art. But they also learn how to connect with it.
Well, it's also an interesting space. For people who have never been, it's in sort of a really nice open area. And you're out in the valley, which is a beautiful place anyways. So you're coming from a city, say Worcester or from Boston. It's a really different, it's a different kind of place to be. So I think it's a really special museum.
Yeah, we have an apple orchard. So
I noticed that.
Come by in September, October.
Can you
get to pick apples?
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I always wondered what you were doing those apple trees.
Sometimes, I think a couple of years ago, there was a blight for apples because it had rained so much that they all ended up spotty. But we usually put out an apple picking stick so that people can just pick them. Because if not, we'll just be eating applesauce for days.
Do you know what type of apple they are?
We have mostly red apples. I don't know the exact variety there are. And then by the staff parking lot, we have some green apples as well.
Have you ever eaten any of the apples from the orchard?
I have, and they're pretty good.
Oh, I was going to ask you, are they tart or are they crisp or what kind of mouthfeel do they?
Pretty tart.
This is getting way down in the weeds. but it's so funny because I've seen that apple orchard so many times. Every time I go, obviously, I see the apple orchard. But I've always wondered, I just thought they grew there and that was it. They fell on the ground and turned to a hungry, hungry caterpillar ate it. I didn't know. So they're good?
Keep them off the ground. Yeah, we try to keep them off the ground as much as possible so that, you know, they don't attract any pests or anything. But it's really such a beautiful outdoor space. And actually this year, this coming fall, will be open on the first Thursdays, I believe, will be open until 8 p.m. So people can enjoy being in the outdoors, warm up inside the museum. We'll have music.
Wow. Okay, we're going to have to. My returning guest tonight has been Isabel Ruiz Cano, and we've been talking. She's an associate curator at the Eric Carl Museum of Picture Book Art, and we've been talking about the exhibition "Cooking with Eric Carl." Isabel, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Mark, as well.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.